Hallelujah. There's no, you know what, I never forget, I was hearing this guy talk, and he's saying, you know, there's so many people, I mean, he's talking about that are like on the fence, you know. And so this one guy died, you know, and he gets before the Lord, and he says, you know, Lord, I thought I did all of the things whatsoever. And he said, no, man, you didn't. You lived your own life. You stayed on the fence. He said, well, what's the problem with staying on the fence? He said, the devil owns the fence. Oh. That's why he couldn't come in. Because he was a fence hanger. And it's offensive. Ooh. Hallelujah. We were a little late getting here tonight because we got another call. I'm telling you, there's just so many people dying. Another overdose from a friend of our son. Another overdose. You know, I can only share, and many opportunities to be rescued. See, God gives opportunities for everyone to be rescued. Amen? Now, just because a person can go to church and be clean for a while doesn't mean they're free. Because, see, that's what happened with him. Then he backslid, and when he backslid, he died. And everything has been offered. That's why God has discipleship places like this. You know, again, it's that area of, you know, loss for gain. Loss for gain. And because there was no, he missed the opportunity multiple times. And we don't want to miss the opportunities of God. Amen? You know, and how many times have people said, yes, yes, yes. And they make a covenant with God. See, when you come into total freedom, you make a covenant with God. You break it. You blow it. This is not a game. Amen? I've seen many people leave here and die. Many. And many who didn't complete or whatever it was. Some of them got rescued and went into another place or whatever, but praise God. But you know, would anybody want to take that chance? I mean, think about that. The chance of death? You know, see how many, you know, it's like, well, once saved, always saved. Do you want to take that chance? Heck no. Well, I'm a good person, though. They're going to hell, too. That's why he said, those who come before me, you who practice lawlessness, that's called rebellion towards his words, towards his plan. That's lawlessness. Shall not enter the kingdom of God. So because you've been good for a little bit doesn't mean you're right. You're right. Amen? It's not always how you begin. It's how you end. Hallelujah. And we are in such a time right now that it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Things are happening. I love it. I love to see what's going on. But I hate to hear about the death of people because my people, humanity is being destroyed for lack of spiritual knowledge. The things of Christ, they're being destroyed. Many have fallen into religion and think that, oh, if I just do this, this, and that, everything's going to be fine. No. Everybody needs to be delivered from demonic spirits. Everybody needs to be healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody needs to carry a level of faith to overcome. Amen? Or they don't make it. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in what? Us. Now, look here. This is, I know this may sound strange, but I want you to know that this is two prophetic things that are being released. The glory that's in us. Us is also U.S. Hello? I'm telling you, there's going to be a glory being released in this country like it's never has before. Why? Because this country is the head, the principality of Babylon, the headquarters of Babylon. And it's coming down. And it can only come down by the glory of God. And there's things he's going to do to bring it down. But there's a glory that is in us that's going to be revealed. As well in the glory in this country that's going to be revealed. God's going to release his glory in this country very, very soon. We're going to see trickles of it. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Think about that. We are the sons of God. All creation is waiting for me and you to be revealed. What? How? What do you mean God's glory in us to be revealed? For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. In other words, the bondage of Satan's hand. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means everything must be delivered into our hands. But it cannot be delivered until Babylon is taken down and the glory of God is released. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together even till now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's why tongues are so important. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yes, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, that means follow him, obey him, and to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the glory, image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. You're not here in this room because you were not invited. You were invited. You accept the invitation. Be careful not to trample it. Amen? Again, the glory in us, believers, and United States, by dismantlement of the Babylonian system. There's a groaning and a birth of a new era coming forth into this reality. Again, the Spirit prays through us in tongues for the perfect will of God to be done. The perfect will. In John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word of God, who's the Word of God? And the Word became what? Flesh, who's Jesus? Amen? So Jesus became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the glory of the Father, which is the glory of the Father is in us, full of grace, which is God's plan and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out. He cried out. He groaned, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In other words, God's plan. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has what? Declared him. Now, this is the testimony of John When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying or groaning in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." John the Baptist was the forerunner of the coming of the Lord. We are now the groaning, the birth, who are bringing the birth, preparing the way of the Lord's return. Again, I can't emphasize to you enough that the Lord will come through the body of Christ first. That's why there's a shaking and quaking. That's why judgment begins in the house of God. He's emptying, just like he kicks over the tables. Where did he go? He went to the temple. Are we the temple? Yes, he's kicking over the tables in us, emptying us all the rooms of all the foolishness, all the worldliness, so he can take possession in every place so that he can flow through us with no hindrance. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. The glory in us is groaning and crying, knowing the glory is here and will increase, preparing the way of the Lord of glory. Again, we are forerunners of the release of the glory of God and the return of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the" what? Heavenlies. "For in this we" what? "We groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." That's the glory. "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at the home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Ooh. That groaning within us, we are ones crying in the wilderness. One of the things we're crying and groaning for, justice. The earth, the humanity is crying out right now for justice. They want justice. The whole world wants justice because of the abuse, the lies, the slavery, the wars, everything. The medical lies, the political lies. People have been enslaved in the matrix, and people are tired of it and want justice. There's a groan right there alone. We groan for justice. We cry out for justice. John the Baptist was crying out for justice. And we are the forerunners of the Lord's return, crying for justice. Amen. Luke 22, verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Whew. Let me tell you, he's asking to sift you as wheat. Why? Because you're a threat to him. He doesn't bother those who are not a threat. And he lets the other demons take care of that. But if you're a threat to him, he sends the bigger guys. Amen? Now look at this, because this is powerful. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your what? Faith should not fail. Again, he didn't pray for his healing. He didn't pray that the demons wouldn't bother him. He didn't pray that they wouldn't be attacked. Does anybody get it? He didn't pray for their deliverance. He prayed that his faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Why, faith is, remember, faith is the currency of heaven. Without faith, you can't please God. Amen? He's saying, why, faith overcomes the world. Faith is your connection with the Lord. Faith says, you're my everything. I'm letting go of everything. You're my everything. I trust you all the way. Faith. Is everybody okay? Satan is sifting many from the faith to prevent the glory release. Many are falling. The Bible tells us that in the latter times, many will fall from the faith, taking heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Look at the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons that are all over the place. You hear it on the news every day. Again, Jesus told him, Satan is wanting to sift you, as he's sifting many from the faith to prevent the glory of God to be released through them. Again, he prayed for our faith, nothing else. Faith is, again, faith is currency of heaven. And now the currency of the world in Babylon, amen, is control. They control humanity by money. Does everybody get it? So, you must overcome that by what? Faith. Oh, hallelujah. Faith activates the glory in you. Faith is an activator. The Bible says you can't please God without faith. It's impossible to please Him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's voice and words. Faith will increase as you pray in tongues. As you sow in the Spirit and praise and worship God, your faith increases. Oh, Ephesians 6. I was watching an episode on Sid Roth. I love Sid Roth. He gets some really wild people on there. And he had this elderly woman that came on. And her dad was a preacher. And she said that her dad preached brimstone and fire and so forth. She said that she was a kid, and she was at one of her dad's services, and he slammed the pulpit so bad, a finger went flying off his hand. And hit a guy that was sitting in a wheelchair that was paraplegic. Well, everybody saw his finger come off of his hand. And they also saw his finger grow back immediately. And the guy in the chair got up and ran around the church. Now, check that out. I'm not going to throw my fingers around. But anyway, I'll throw my sneakers around. But check this out. Sweet elderly woman, man. And she shared that the Lord had come and taken her, and she'd gone to heaven. And one of the things that the Lord shared with her is that the enemy is stealing my people's faith. And so the Lord showed her all these shields that were piled up. And he said, those are my children's shield of faith that are not using. And he reminded, listen, I didn't pray for Simon of anything else, but his faith would not fail. Amen. Jesus intercedes that our faith doesn't fail. He knows you need healing. It's your faith that gets you healed. It's your faith that brings you in. It's your faith with relationship. So what is our responsibility? To increase our faith. Amen. That's our responsibility. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's Satan's greatest weapon? Deception. What's his power? Fear. Fear will nullify faith. Amen? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Getting dressed, what? The full armor of God. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, verse 16, what's it say? Above what? All. Above all of this. Above it all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts or the voices of the wicked ones. Somebody get it? I get people telling me, man, I hear voices all the time. Well, get your shield of faith up and quench the fiery darts. Amen? The shield of faith. What does it do? It activates the glory in us. Now listen, we need the faith for me and you needs to increase with expectation. So we're activating the glory of God that's within us until the glory of God is released upon us. And when those two glories touch, we have an explosion going on. That means whatever you ask is instantly done. We won't need to lay hands on anybody. We just speak the word and it shall be done. We're waiting for that glory to be released. But in the meantime, we must maintain a level of faith and keep the glory activated in us until that glory is released. When that glory is released, when glory touches glory, you have an explosion of the power and the glory of God. Remember, Jesus showed the same thing. When the Spirit came upon him, amen, what did he do? He went in and kicked butt on the devil. That was the first thing he went after. Amen? And the devil tempted him over and over and over, and he didn't call nobody. He didn't go to the phone. He didn't kneel down and pray then. He didn't need to. He said, it's written. He said, what? It is written. Why? Because his words, the word of God, builds what? Faith. And the glory was upon him. That's what rose him from the dead. So he was the glory of God Almighty. And then he needed the glory of God to be upon him to overcome everything on this world. And then the glory of God rose him from the dead. And he kicked the devil's butt again when he went into hell. Took the keys away. Suspended his license. See, people don't realize that the devil ain't got a license to do nothing. Only what we let him. And like I said before, he makes these little paper airplanes with all kinds of stuff on it. Throws it at people, fiery dart. And they pick it up and they read it. Oh, I'm oppressed. Oh, I'm sick. I'm this. Oh, I'm that. Oh, man. Oh, God, you need to heal me. I did. Where's your faith? Faith up. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. For though we walk in a physical realm called the flesh, we do not walk according to the physical realm. I wish they really would change this in here, because it really messes people up. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Anything that you've accepted in your thoughts as a truth that is a lie has brought a stronghold to you. And the enemy has access to you until it's destroyed. Casting down, look at, what does it say? Arguments. Well, where are the arguments? In your thoughts. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Not every person. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you must be submissive. That's why God says submit to God, resist the devil. Unless, listen, people are trying to do all kinds of warfare, this or that, and they're not obedient to the Lord. They lose every battle. They wonder why. Their faith isn't increased. They're still touching unclean things. They're agreeing with every thought in their mind. Not realizing that those are not your thoughts. That's why we have the teachers to say, who told you that? Who told you that? Well, who told you that? Well, come out in Jesus' name. Who told you that you can't do this? Who told you that you're oppressed? Who told you that? That's what the enemy does. Remember, those demons are all over the place. The only time they run is when we worship. They come into the presence, but they can't come into the presence of God. They start to leave. That's why people get rebellious when we start praising. Those demons begin to start. They bind people up, man. Then their minds go back carnally. It's just a demon, that's all it is. I've never had a demon in my life. We've all had demons. Praise God. That's why you need deliverance. All right. Weapons of spiritual warfare are activated by faith. Amen. Casting down all those goofy thoughts and imaginations and emotional things. You know, those thoughts will create emotion. The devil will tell you, nobody loves you. Oh, God. Nobody loves me. Lord, nobody loves me. The Lord's going, who told you that? Stop it, for I bury you alive. Romans 12. You know, but you got to remember the carnal person can't grab that yet until they're really born in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. Then it's like, whoa. You know, when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, then things change. You know, because I sit at, believe me, I get invited to dinners and family dinners, and we're sitting around the dinner and talking, and man, my thoughts are going, God, who told you that? Oh, I want to say it so badly. I want to slap the hell out of them and make room for heaven, you know? Oh, shut up, devil. Man, if you could choke a devil, You know, you can, though, by binding them. You bind them, blind them, and mute them. Hallelujah. Romans 12. Verse 1. Same thing on some of the movies. Did you ever watch these movies, you know, and they're religious movies in some of them. And they try to avoid the area of demons. Even some of the Christian movies, they don't want to talk about the demons. Well, the word says, man, cast that stinking devil out and stop the garbage, man. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Oh, the word. Yes. And they show they got these Catholicism dudes going, throwing water on them, and they're holding the cross like this. Like it's going to do something. They're walking around with the incense, you know. Instead of just saying, come out in the name of Jesus, it's really that simple. They go through this whole ritual that doesn't do nothing. Hallelujah. I think of all the horror flicks I watched when I was a kid, you know. My dad used to love watching with me. He used to wake me up when he'd come home from work late. Hey, there's one on 11 o'clock tonight. All right, I'd be up watching, but couldn't sleep for 2 days, you know. Be underneath my pillow, underneath the bed. They're coming. They're coming for me. Gosh, if I don't know about casting out the devils then, snap. I'd have gone to school and cast one out of my teacher right away. They were demons dressed as nuns. Some of them were priests dressed as nuns. I mean, dressed. That's very possible. I don't know. That's how you know. You never know. Some of them acted like dudes in a dress. You know, I don't know. Hallelujah. Gosh. Going to Catholicism school was tough. They did have the ruler out there, you know. But, you know, I'm the classes I was in, no one was going to hit anybody with a ruler. Because they would have got hit back. I mean, it was crazy. Romans 12, are we there yet? Verse 1. Let's speak it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, which is your responsibility every day. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts. So how are you going to be changed? Renew the thoughts. Amen? And not only just once, but on a continual basis. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's simple. Amen. Resetting your thoughts of his words become faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing his word. We are entering into, let me share with you, please. We are entering what we call a gathering of cycles of all kinds of things that have occurred. It's called a gathering of cycles. And in this gathering of cycles, these are events that will continue to unfold until the light of truth covers the whole earth. Because cycles of time bring moments in the present time. Do you notice how things recycle? Amen. So there are certain events that have occurred over and over. Just let me, like the seven feasts of the Lord, right? They recycle every year, don't they? And we find out that certain things happen on the seven feasts of the Lord, or according to those, close to those dates. The 50-year Jubilee cycle is happening now, still happening. There's what they call a Hammond cycle. Does anybody remember Hammond? When he was trying to destroy the Jews, amen? Hammond tried to set up Mordecai. and to kill all the Jews. And Esther fasted and prayed, and God intervened. So he built all of these where you hang people. And was going to get Mordecai and his family and hang them all. Well, anyways, the king found out about it and turned it all around. And ended up hanging Haman. And that's where they celebrate the feast called Purim. So we there in Purim with an eclipse is a special event. So we've got a cycle right now of the 50-year cycle of Haman affects with eclipses for the next 3.5 years. No coincidence. How long was Jesus' ministry? 3.5 years. Amen? See, because the cry of justice has reached the throne of God. The next feast that will be coming up to next month is called the Feast of Passover, which is April. So you have the Feast of Passover, you have the Feast of Unleavened Breads, and you have the Feast of First Fruits, which is the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. And remember when the Feast of Passover came because the Lord brought the plagues. To do what? Release the Jews from 400 years of bondage. Amen? And so because they were slaves for 400 years, and when Pharaoh released them because of the plagues, they left with the gold, they left with the silver, they left with the cattle, and they had what we call a Red Sea experience. Because then Pharaoh changed his mind after he let them go. They went after him, but God split the Red Sea. They went across. And then when Pharaoh's army and so forth went in there, he destroyed them. So we're going to see this happen again. And it's a Red Sea moment. Amen? Hallelujah. So there are things that are cycling in this moment again. There are certain things in the demonic realm. Tomorrow, just for example. Tomorrow is 100 years ago where Hitler took power and opened up the first chambers of destruction, where he killed the Jews. It's 322. Why? Because 322 is the skull and bone signia of the Antichrist regime. 322 is the skull and bone insignia of the Antichrist regime. So they do a lot of things on 322 or associated with that number. And there's other numbers associated with it too. It was the first concentration camp where the Jews were brought for. Now we knew that Hitler was an Antichrist. Amen. Again, these things are cycling now, and there's other things that I'm not going to get into all tonight, but I just want to share with you that there's a gathering of cycle that is happening right now that we are in. It's never happened before. All of these things happening kind of like at once. In Hebrews 12, verse 25, you see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also what? The heavens, the unseen. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Remain. That's why everything is being shaken. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, the plan of God, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Again, the fear of the Lord is reverence and honor and respect. Amen? Fearing the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. Well, if you don't have a relationship with him, how could you fear him? Because people fear the Lord in horror sometimes. Because he said it's not what You know, it's not about, you know, he can destroy the soul. Amen? But God is not out to destroy mankind. He's out to rescue mankind. He loves his people. Even when we're idiots, he still loves us. Thank God. We'd all be cooked. Amen? Matthew 18, starting at verse 1. I really believe that God is ticked off right now. And the number one thing is because of abortion that's gone on for so long. And I believe that a lot of people just didn't stand up for what was right. Some did, some didn't. It says here, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." You know what a little child does? It's all trusting, all quickly forgiving, and willing to learn. They're always asking questions. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Now look at the next verse. You want to tick that off? "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." Yes, you want to really tick God off? Mess with the innocent children. And look what they're trying to do with all the gender changes, and they're trying to teach the stuff in schools. Finally, parents are getting up and saying, "Yo, I went in the library, and you're trying to tell my 8-year-old child you have a choice to change your sex?" They need to go in there and really just burn those books. You know, because as far as I'm concerned, they're all demonic. But this is what we're seeing happening right now. It's all garbage. Innocent kids with the transgender garbage and altering their minds and desires to do things that are ungodly. They're opening doors. See, because when the children agree to this, that opens the door to the demon to come in. And when that demon comes in, that child who was normal can become a homosexual, lesbian, transgender, whatever. Why? Because it's a spirit. If you take radioactive material and you stick it in your pocket, eventually it's going to harm your body. It's the same thing with a demon. When it's in you, it begins to harm you. You become what it is. You begin to think because it's speaking to you all the time. And then, if they don't know, they're thinking that it's them because of all those thoughts. Everybody, you know, when you hear somebody saying, "I mean, he's talking to himself," they're talking to somebody. Hello? Somebody's talking to you. You want to make sure that the right voice you're agreeing with. Amen? Is everybody okay? And I'm going to close at Isaiah 60 in verse 1. And I really believe that this prophecy is beginning to come to pass. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed by your side. Then you shall see and become what? Radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy. Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. And the wealth of the wicked or the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. I don't need any camels, but I'll take them. The dramadines of Media and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and what? Incense. So if you see camels on my front lawn, it's cool, man. I may have cows in the back, but it's coming. Yeah. Viv will take them home. She likes animals. She's always wanting, every time a cow comes on, I want one. Get them. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nephiah, they shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Woo-hoo! Now, who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts? Surely the coastlands shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish shall come first, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of the Lord your God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified what? You. You. Ooh, yes. Because he has glorified who? You. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in possession. For the nation of the kingdom which will not serve you shall what? Perish. And those nations shall be utterly ruined. This is the prophecy that is being released as the glory of God begins to get released. But we must maintain a faith that is pleasing to God. You want to say something, hon?
And starting to come onto the earth. So, so there's things that are going on, and those of you that are with us for 9 months don't know these things, so I'm going to tell you a couple. There was a movie recently that we all went to, a Jesus movie about, what was that called? Revolution, that's it. But there's another one that was in the movie theater for 2 days. It was Pastor Greg Locke from Arkansas. He's got a huge tent. And this movie came called Come Out in Jesus' Name. So they have this at the theater. It was number 4 at the theater. And people, they're literally praying mass deliverance over people. People are manifesting in there and getting freed up in a movie theater. So he says, when Jesus gets kicked out of church, then he goes to the movies. So the other thing I wanted to tell you, I saw yesterday on a video in Brazil, there was a grocery store, and people are just pushing their carts and picking up their fruit and doing their thing, and they're all singing. And I know the tune, I can't speak Portuguese, but they were singing, and life is worth living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The whole grocery store broke out in song. That's revival, guys. It's coming. Get ready.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word tonight in preparation. We thank you that we can gather together to have fun, that we can learn and not burn. thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit and the power and the anointing and the preparation that you're preparing us for the glory that will be released. So help us to increase our faith and maintain a level that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.